Good morning, you listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is David Pauly. David, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Hey, this is kind of a slow week, and I have an interesting topic that I want to talk to you about. But before we do that, just a little background. David, for those that don't know you, you have been the president of several major carpet companies. You were president of Lee's, Burlington, World, Mohawk, and Dixie, I believe in that order. Is that right?
Yes, or segments thereof. I was never the president of, like, the full Mohawk. I was the president of Mohawk's presidential carpet.
Right.
I was there.
Well, what I want to talk to you about is something that I'm going to focus on with Floor Focus on an article in a couple of months. It's about having a brand to the consumer. And when you don't have a brand to the consumer, you leave the power in somebody else's hand. So let's talk a little bit about that. I think several years ago you did some research to test unaided what the brands were. What did that tell you?
This was back when I just got to Mohawk and we were trying to do a Mohawk brand. As I recall, the number one brand at that time was, well, the top three, I think, was Stainmaster was one, DuPont was second, and Sears was third. And Sears was already out of the carpet business, and DuPont, I think, had already sold Stainmaster. The unaided recall, pure unaided recall, yeah, were those three. We went way down the hill to get to Karistan, and then we got to Mohawk, and of course it was Lee's, and still Lee's was out of business, but there was very little unaided recall of any carpet company.
Yeah, and actually, if you go way back in history, and you start looking at Mohaskin, which was the brand that was a long time before Mohawk, they actually used to embroider the name on the backside of the rug, didn't they?
Well, yeah. You want to go back into the 50s,
yep.
Yeah, the brands that existed, there were Mohawk, Lee's, Coolistan. There was a half a dozen that were brands that consumers all knew.
Yeah. Now, if there is no brand that's well-known by the consumer, when she goes in to buy a carpet, who does she leave the power with?
Well, the major power is always in the hands of the retail salesperson. Mm-hmm. And that has been one of the problems, is the retail salesperson has neutralized any brand power. Even Stainmaster at its height will tell you that they were very frustrated by, they would create a consumer, the consumer would go in, and the retail salesperson would change the sale. So the retail salesperson is the dominant factor in the selection process by the consumer.
I think during this recession we've seen a fall off of much effort, even in the print magazine ads that we see in the shelter books for carpet, we've seen a fall off in the last couple of years. Do you think that the major companies that produce carpet have just given up because the retail salesperson's got the power? Why should we build a brand?
I would say that's probably along the way. I think the major companies are trying to produce a brand that works with the retail buyer and the retail salesperson as opposed to a consumer brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with you. I don't know that it's possible to build a consumer carpet brand today.
Well,
or any hard surface or soft surface.
Look, both you and I have spent some time studying some of this whole concept at the Wharton School up in Pennsylvania. I think you actually have a degree from there, and I just took some classes up there. I hate it when somebody says they've given up. If there is no brand, then the retail salesperson has the power. Wouldn't you say that retail salesperson has less power when there's an unaided awareness of a company that is well known for making carpet?
See if I can put that a different way. If you can create a strong brand, then what the first thing that happens is, for instance, in Karistan, which is much weakened today, but you still have retailers wanting the Karistan brand. So right away you get good retailers wanting to buy your product to show to consumers. That's a pull. You know, if you don't get on the floor, you can't sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
Retail salesperson can't sell something that's not there. So you get positioned by having a good brand. And the next thing that happens is, if you have a good brand, when the retailer advertises that brand, typically the retailer will get more consumers per advertising dollars by promoting a good, well-known carpet brand than they will by promoting winter clearance or whatever. So the Karistan sales, when I was at Lee's, any Lee's dealer would tell you that the Lee's advertisement produced more sales, more consumers, per advertising dollar spent than any other ad they did. So there is value to the brand. The fact is, of course, that the retail salesperson can still negate the value, but you've gotten two-thirds of the way along what you're trying to do, which is sell a lot of coffee.
Let me repeat what you just said. Not only with a strong brand do you get consumer preference when she's in there buying carpets or rugs, which she does every 5 or so years, okay? But what you also say is it gives you channel strength. In other words, you have more people carrying your product because they want an easy sale, and they know that if they carry the brands that the consumer's looking for, then more people will come in their store. Is that right?
True.
Yeah, okay.
It's an easier sale to sell something that a consumer asked for than to go against what a consumer asked for.
Mm-hmm. All right. I know you did an analysis at Mohawk, and I think you looked, one of the things you did that was very smart is Mohawk had grown up like a lot of the big mega companies did through acquisition, and you decided that it would be probably more important to drop Aladdin and World. And
Eddie Williams was the vice president of marketing there. Eddie and I got put our heads together, and we went to the manager and said, look, you're selling all these brands. The problem is you think that you're selling a consumer. She's going home and remembers who she bought, what she bought, and she's buying some category as opposed to buying Mohawk. So let's change everything from Aladdin and Horizon and World and Image and all that stuff to everything is Mohawk. So we'll make it an Aladdin collection by Mohawk. And our basic theory was that when the daughter asks the mother, what carpet did you buy? The mother says Mohawk, and second generation, you have a brand. And so we tied that together. That was a time when Bob Shaw had just given up on national advertising, and I think Jeff was smart enough to keep on spending that money that he had previously allocated to industry money, to Mohawk money. And so we had a budget of $7 or $8 million, and we produced these ads, and they were all Mohawk ads. It was easier for us to show retailers that we were producing a consumer, so we got more floor placement.
Yeah.
And the thing tied together pretty well.
And you actually had some experience earlier in your life with Burlington.
I had Lee's and Burlington. Both were very interesting. Lee's brand, which is a huge brand, was not created with national advertising. We did no national advertising at Lee's, and near as I could go back, they didn't do national advertising at Lee's much later after 1955 or 60 or something. I'm talking about 1980s. We still had a huge national brand. It was all co-op funds. It was not national. It was all co-op. That is to say that Higbee's, a department store, would run a Lee's ad, and Lee's was having this huge sale at Lee's, and that we paid for half, and they paid for half.
Mm-hmm.
And department stores around the country, Kaufman in Pittsburgh, and Macy's in New York, and wherever you went, we were spending money on co-op funds, not by ourselves. The Burlington thing that you ask about is also fascinating.
Yeah.
They ran this TV ad with this electronic blip, and they only ran it for about 2 years, and then they pulled it. But what they did do was they took their fleet of trucks, and every truck said Burlington and had that logo on it. And every consumer knew that. They had this huge array of moving boards.
Yeah, fleet of billboards.
You couldn't, if you were on the road driving, you'd pass two or three Burlington trucks, and you'd see that logo, and so they reinforced, and that logo lasted for as long as Burlington lasted, which was unfortunately bad management. Eventually, put Burlington underneath. There are more ways to skin a cat than just doing national advertising.
Right. There are still brands being built today, and I know Geico is probably a bad example because they're spending a fortune. And that's another Berkshire Hathaway property, but they're spending a fortune behind that brand.
It's a good example.
Yeah.
They're spending a fortune. You have to spend a fortune.
You have to? Are you sure you have to?
If you're trying to define your brand, the consumer brand?
Yeah.
A fortune.
And what would you think a fortune would be?
The number that was bandied about when Stainmaster did their promotion for a couple of years was $65 million.
And per year?
Yeah.
Okay. So you think to build a consumer brand for flooring, you have to spend $60 million a year?
For the first couple of years, and then you have to do all the things that Stainmaster has done with co-op funds and local things to sustain it.
What's different? Because you told me that Burlington built the brand name, making that that sewing machine noise, and then they put it on their fleet of trucks. Do you think they spent that kind of money?
I don't know how much money they spent originally, but I'm told that by a lot of people that they saw them, so I imagine they spent a bunch of money when they first went out.
All right, well, David, I think one of the ways that the mills can be in control of their own destiny would be to have a brand that people recognized. And, there's a lot of new ways of building brands, social media and cable TV and still those shelter books that are out there. I don't know what the answers are, but I sure am asking the questions.
Well, think about it, Kent. If the retail salesperson is the strongest person in the link. If you convince the retail salesperson that you're a brand, then maybe you're a brand.
Yeah, and you might be able to do that through trade advertising. That's a little self-serving. Okay. David, great to talk to you. And
to you.
I hope you have a good holiday. And
you have a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in 2011. Looking forward to a good 2011. I should mention that while you've been the president of many of these companies, you're still in the business. And
yeah, I started a little company. We'll see what happens. I'm having fun.
It's actually
VSP
called
VSP Flooring.
VSP Flooring. Okay, great.
And very special people.
All right, very special people. It's great to talk to you, David. We've been talking to David Pauly, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaDaily.net.